I'm quite aware that some of you are expecting me to be speaking on mercy. The first maybe disappointment is I am not going to speak on mercy, not today. So I won't continue right now, at least, what I started a few weeks ago. The thing the Lord has laid on my heart, and partly due to recent events, but more from a spiritual perspective, is this issue of fear. And when you look in the Word of God, and we'll read some verses, there's one phrase that's dominating throughout the Word of God, and it's this simple phrase, fear not. Now, that's the title of the message. I'll make that easy on you. Fear not. That phrase occurs again and again throughout the Scripture. It occurs at least 365 times in different forms throughout the Scripture. Now, in case you need help with that, that means there's enough for one day, every day of the full year. Fear not. So this week, particularly, as I've been before the Lord and He's seemed to change my mind about what to share on, this was the thought that came to me. Now, I hope that you can put up with my cold and at least try to understand. I'll try to be as clear as I can to make you fit. But there are a few scriptures, and already time is a burden. I've been told that I have 15 minutes. So, hallelujah. Those of you that know me know that's an impossible task. Turn with me to Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of Jehovah came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Fear not, Abram. Turn with me to Joshua 8, verse 1. And Jehovah said to Joshua, "Fear not, neither be dismayed." Turn with me to Isaiah 41, verse 10. This is a small flavor, brothers and sisters, but maybe it'll help to set the tone. Did I say 41, verse 10? Isaiah 41, verse 10. "Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Turn in the New Testament to Matthew chapter 10. I think you're all familiar with this. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 26. This is the Lord Jesus speaking, and He said, "Fear them not, therefore. For there is nothing covered which shall not be revealed, and secret which shall not be known. What I say to you in darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach upon the houses. And be not afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but fear rather him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father? But of you, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore." And turn with me to Luke 8. Luke 8, concerning the story of Jairus' daughter. I think many of you know this story. This phrase in verse 50, "But Jesus, hearing it, answered him, saying, Fear not, only believe." Fear not, only believe. And to His church, the Lord Jesus, Luke 12, verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it has been the good pleasure of your Father to give you the kingdom. Now, Lord, we once again commit your word to you and ask you to help us to really understand this encouragement that comes from your word to fear not. Lord, we pray for an anointing and a help for our physical condition, for our hearing, for our speaking. Above everything else, we want the Lord Jesus to be exalted and to be heard, and pray you'll meet us today as we're together. In the name of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I think you're all aware that the recent terrorist attacks. Now, I don't want to speak about terrorist attacks. I don't want to speak about America. That's not my burden whatsoever. But it seems to me that the one thing that has happened since the 11th of September, and with issues, specifically the anthrax scare, since the 11th of September, is it has produced a spirit of fear. Now, that seems to be pervasive. You seem to hear it everywhere. There's a spirit of fear. People don't know what to expect. They don't know what's coming. And everywhere there seems to be a spirit of fear. As a matter of fact, I heard the other day that People magazine's coming out with a new special release publication called Calming Our Fears. You know, that great help of all people, People magazine. You know, that great source of comfort. I guess there weren't too many celebrity articles to think about, but even People magazine, a special edition was coming. I heard the other day, Calming Our Fears. In Time magazine, they said the next issue, the cover will be The Fear Factor. And even the other day, listening to the news, I think we've all been somewhat glued to the news, but a senator came out and said, our greatest enemy is fear. Now, again, please understand, I don't want to talk about 9-1-1. I don't want to talk about America. I don't want to talk about war. What I believe the issue is before God is that we understand as believers how to overcome in this issue of fear. It seems to me to be no mistake that the Holy Spirit put in that word fear not in the Bible 365 times just to say to us as His people, there is sufficient grace for those that believe in the Lord Jesus, those that fear the living God, that they don't need to fear in any circumstance whatsoever. I believe that's the message, the profound message when it comes to that. Those two marvelous words, fear not, I believe, are a great source of comfort to us. Now, fear, I don't know, I hope you stay with me, because there are a few points, and it appears I have to make these points very quickly, but it seems there are a few things that might be able to help us as believers in this day. And brothers and sisters, that's not Cipro, I want to tell you, from the very outset. Now, I'm not against you taking Cipro, but that is not going to be your prescription for fear. There's something far greater, far more powerful, far more peaceful than Cipro ever was. Now, if you need to take Cipro, take Cipro. That's okay. I'm not against that. I'm not against medicine. But that's not the point. Fear can be overwhelming. Now, I think most of us know that. It has, this is the way I'd like to put it for a point. There is the overwhelming power of fear. Now, if you think that's giving ground to the enemy, just stay with me a little bit and we'll maybe be able to help with this matter. But fear, for anyone who has known it, for anyone who has known the grip of fear, the power of fear, they know that fear has overwhelming power. It does. I don't know if any of you, you may not have ever experienced a panic attack. I have. And this is the most unsettling, the most horrendous, the most, I don't even know the words to describe it, but if you have ever experienced fear in that way, you know something, that fear has overwhelming power. Naturally, life is full of fear. Now, I don't mean going to the dentist, although to you that may be a great phobia. I mean, that may be a great problem. There are people who are paralyzed with fear, thinking of going to the dentist. I'm so thankful I have a brother in the Lord who's my dentist. And actually, I don't mind. I just want to doze off at the dentist. So fear of the dentist is not my fear, I'll tell you. But life is full of fears. Life is full of anxieties. But brothers and sisters, what I want to get at today is go beyond that. Not just normal anxiety. I don't think we'll ever be totally delivered from anxiety, because the Word of God makes it very plain. Cast all your care upon Him who cares for you. Be not anxious in anything, but with everything, in prayer, give it to the Lord. So I think, although life is naturally full of anxiety, there's something greater what is on my heart, and that's breaking the bondage and the grip of unreasonable fear. There's a difference. And like I've said to you, if you've ever experienced it, if you've ever known it to settle upon you, you know what I mean. It can be an incredible, overwhelming power. Romans 8:15 describes fear in this way. Maybe we'll look at the nature of fear for a moment. Romans 8:15 says, "We have not received a spirit of bondage again to fear." Fear is bondage. Fear has such strong chains, it's greater than any iron that was ever produced. It has a prison that's greater than any cell that's ever been made. Fear is bondage. Now, some of you know what I mean. Some of you know what I mean. The second thing about fear, it says in Hebrews 2:15, if you want to turn, maybe I'll have to read to you the Scriptures to save our time. It says of the Lord Jesus, He might annul him who has the might of death, that is the devil, and might set free all those who through fear of death, through the whole of their life, have been subject to bondage. Brothers and sisters, do you know that there are people, the whole of their life is subject to the fear of bondage? Some people fear death so much that they can't even live. But the Lord has a word for us. Fear not. That's His word. In the last days, the Lord Jesus describes in Luke 21, I think all of you know this, maybe I'll save you some time. He describes the days when things are coming upon the earth, and He says, men's hearts, did you know this verse? Men's hearts will faint, will fail, because of fear of what is coming upon the earth. Now, saints, I wonder if we aren't getting to those days. That was a description of the last days. Fear can kill you. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. There's a spirit of bondage. It can hold you for the whole of your life, and it can kill you. Now, I hope you don't think that's too negative. Stay with me. I read a story yesterday. You don't think fear can... I read a story yesterday. There were these group of husbands, and they were 10 husbands, and they were pretty henpecked fellows, by the way. And these guys, they feared their wives. Their great fear, none of you men are like that, so you'll just bear with the humor. They feared their wives. They were so deathly afraid of their wives. They decided that they would form their own henpecked men's club. So these 10 guys, of course they met in secret, never told their wife about the club. They met together in their club and they would just talk about the fear of their wives. Hard to imagine, isn't it? And then one day, lo and behold, their wives found out about the meeting. And they came to the meeting. And those guys, at least 9 of them, scattered in absolute terror. It was unbelievable. And one fellow stayed. And after they found themselves shivering, they grouped back together and they said, "He is so brave. He is so brave. We need to make him president." So they go back, and he had fainted dead from fear. Fear can kill you. Brothers and sisters, sometimes I wonder if we believers aren't under a bondage that we need to be released from. Sometimes I wonder if we don't labor under a bondage that God needs to break. Our testimony should be not one of fear, but one of faith. It seems to me that fear, in one sense, has overwhelming power. They said of Ann Landers, I found this an astounding statistic. She gets 10,000 letters a month. And she said, by and large, all of those letters, almost all of them, deal with one issue, and that is fear. People are fearful. A noted surgeon said, a noted American internist said, 90% of the chronic patients in this nation, 90%, astounding. Their first symptom was fear. I wonder if the Lord doesn't need to break the spirit of fear. Is there any hope for fear? Let me tell you another verse. You know, I will take the time to do this. 1 John. Maybe it'll share with you, it'll mean something, convince you of the overpowering, the overwhelming power fear can be. In 1 John 4, verse 18, it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has torment." Think of it. Fear has torment. You know, the enemy loves to torment you. He knows your natural inclinations. He knows your temperament. He knows your personality. And he can come against you and he can take something like a magnifying glass, spiritually speaking, and magnify that thing to such a degree that he can torment you. I don't know if you've ever counseled anybody that's been under the bondage of fear, but if you've ever seen a person in torment, that's torment. Now, is there any hope for us? Is there any hope? If fear has this kind of overwhelming power, is there any hope for us? And brothers and sisters, the good news from the Word of God is there's more than just a little bit of hope. Turn with me to Isaiah 41, verse 10 again. And maybe you'll begin to understand. There is one answer, at least to begin with, for believers in this matter of fear. You'll begin to understand in just a moment. But the only thing, the first thing, the main thing that can break this overpowering, this overwhelming power of fear is the overshadowing presence of the Lord Jesus. That alone is the thing that can dispel fear. Turn with me to Isaiah 41:10, and we'll look at that verse again. It says, "Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee by my right hand of righteousness." Brothers and sisters, there's one cure to fear. Fear not. Now why? Is it just a word? Do we just tell one another all the time, "Fear not, fear not"? And if you say it 365 times, then all of a sudden people won't fear? It's not the cure to fear. The cure to fear is, "I am with you, saith the Lord." It's His overshadowing presence. Brothers and sisters, the cure we have against fear is not that the Lord just tells us not to fear. It's that He comes into those situations and His overshadowing presence meets us in the midst of the darkness and trouble, and that presence becomes our peace. Do you understand? If you miss that point, you miss the whole thing about fear not. You remember in Psalm 23, David said, "Yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, yet I will fear no evil." You know why? What does it say after that? "For Thou art with me." For Thou art with me. In that shadow, in that dark place, in that overwhelming place of fear, there was one answer. There was an overshadowing presence of God Himself who met David, and he was able to walk through that valley of the shadow of death. "Thou art with me" is the secret. In the midst of the shadow of fear, the secret is the overshadowing presence of God Himself. Brothers and sisters, that's what you've been given. He commits Himself to us. Isaiah 41:10 says, "I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee by the right hand of my righteousness." He doesn't just leave us alone. He will uphold thee by the right hand of His righteousness. In Psalm 91, verse 7, I'll turn to that. Maybe this will help you see this overshadowing presence. Psalm 91, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Now, brothers and sisters, fear is bondage. It casts a dark shadow, but there is an overpowering shadow of the presence of God that can lift us out of our fears. Oh, saints, what we need to do is lay hold of that thing. That's the secret of David. That's the secret of these ones. When the Lord appeared to him and the Lord spoke His own word and said, "Fear not." He didn't just say to Abraham, "Fear not, Abraham." He said, "Fear not. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Do you understand the difference? That's the cure. Now, there's a thing this verse in Psalm 23 tells us. Fear is often a shadow. The hardest fears to deal with are unreasonable fears. Have you ever tried to talk to someone who was under the bondage of unreasonable fear? It's a shadow. You can't get your hands on it. It's a shadow. It's not real. It's a shadow. But it's a very dark shadow. It's like the valley of the shadow of death. But into that dark valley, the Lord Himself can come. And into that dark valley, the Lord Jesus Himself can meet us. in His committed presence is enough to lift us up. And when we know the secret, which is, I am with thee, saith the Lord, then we can be delivered from fears. Saints, this is what we have that the world doesn't have. The world is without this. All they see is their 401 count going to the bottom. All they see is their nation at war. All they see is anthrax coming through the mail. But we have the presence of the Lord. What peace. Would you remind one another of that? That's the way. The overshadowing presence. I'll tell you a little story real quickly. I was tremendously afraid of the dark when I was a kid. When my sister left, I was a baby. My brother and sister used to stuff me into a closet. See what they do to the babies. It's amazing. Stuff me into the closet and just try to scare me. I'll tell you, that endured, not even, I'm making fun of my sister and brother, but I had a fear of darkness that hung on to me till I was 20 years old. I'll never forget, one time I was out, I'm not sure what it was, but on my bike, and it was in the middle of the night, incredibly dark night, and I rode, I set a land speed record, going home, looking behind all the way, and I used to have trouble falling asleep because I was afraid of what would come into my room. But I remember the night I met the Lord Jesus. It was such an overwhelming peace. For the first time I heard that song, Amazing Grace. And leaving that place, all I could sing over and over is, grace has taught my heart to fear. And grace, my fears relieved. His overshadowing presence dissipated the fear. It was gone. You can take me out any night you want to. Leave me anywhere you want to. It was gone. It wasn't a method. It wasn't a pill. It wasn't anything. It was His overshadowing presence that delivered me from my fear. I'll tell you another thing. I used to have a fear of, I could not speak in public. Never could. And the Lord delivered me. His overshadowing presence. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. If you remember anything, brothers and sisters, remember this. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's the secret. Nothing else. No one else. Only Him. The second thing. If you give me 10 more, you give me 10 more minutes? Or do y'all want me to stop? It's up to you, brothers and sisters. I'll stop if you want me to. Let me say something about that overpowering presence. You remember when the disciples were in the boat? You remember that story? These were sailors. These were men that were veterans of the sea. And when they were in that boat, they said a storm came up in Matthew 8 that was so overpowering that the waves came over the boat. That's what Matthew 8 says. And these seasoned veterans who were not afraid of the sea became overwhelmed with the power of fear. And if you remember the story, they came to the Lord Jesus, and they woke, the Lord Jesus was asleep, and they woke the Lord Jesus up, and they said, "Lord, we perish, save us." And the Lord said, "O ye of little faith," and he rebuked the winds, and he rebuked the storm, and the word says there was a great calm. Now take from this one lesson. It is the presence of the Lord only that calms the storm. Remember that. Don't ever forget that. Nothing else. These men were men that knew the sea, were not afraid of the sea, were overwhelmed at these conditions and these circumstances. So the lesson to us is when you find yourself in overwhelming circumstances, it's the presence of the Lord that will calm the storm. It's the only solution. May the Lord help us. The second thing that I want us to consider is the overpowering place of His Word. Now, brothers and sisters, not only has He given us His presence for the darkest of situations, He's given us His Word for every situation. Now, I have a fear. May I say that in context? I have a fear that we as the people of God, in particular those of us in the U.S. who are so used to leisure, know so little about the Word of God. That's a fear. I believe that even with we have to confess we do not know the Word as we ought to know it. And one of the things the Lord Jesus has given us to overcome our fears is His Word. How we need to abide in His Word. How we need to know His Word. How when we pray, we need to pray His Word. How we need to stand together on His Word. If we do that, I think we can know a freedom from fear. It was to Abraham that the Word of God came, "Fear not." It was to Joshua that the Word of God came, "Fear not, neither be dismayed." It was to Israel the Word of God came, "Fear not, for I am with thee." It was to His disciples that the Lord spoke, "Fear them not, therefore." It was the Word that set them free. In the end, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, in the last word, it says, "Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one." It is the Lord's Word. Brothers and sisters, how we need to abide in the Word of God. That's a secret. Not only is it the presence of the Lord, but we need the Word of God. I remember when I was saved, it seemed to be almost an audible voice shortly after I was saved, that the Lord spoke this word to me in John 8:32, and I think you know it. "But if you abide in My Word, you are truly My disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." What is the secret? It's abiding in the Word of God. Oh, how we need to know the Word. Brothers and sisters, I think the one thing we need in this hour more than anything is to know the Word of God, the living Word of God. That will cause us to overcome. Several words that I wanted to leave with you. This is the Word of God. Stand upon it. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 and 16. "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Brothers and sisters, that's the Word of God. We can stand on it. We have not received a spirit of fear. I can't tell you how many times I've talked with people, and at that moment they were seemed so bound. This little word, "you have not received a spirit of fear," seemed to have liberating power. We need to know that. You know, half the battle is knowing the source. You can say to the Lord, in the midst of your being overwhelmed, "Lord, your word is very clear. We have not received the spirit of fear to bondage." That's the word of God. Stand on it. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 25 and 26, write this down. "Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the destruction of the wicked when it comes, for Jehovah shall be thy confidence and keep thy foot from being taken." Have you ever noticed that fear is often sudden? Have you ever noticed that? The enemy slips in something and all of a sudden it seems to overtake you in an instant. But the word of God that we need to stand upon is, "Be not afraid of sudden fear." Know its source. It's an anthrax attack. Know its source. If you just know its source. Now listen, let me say this. Fear has a grip. This is the best way to illustrate. Fear has a grip. And the way to begin to loosen that grip is to know the presence of the Lord and to stand upon His Word. And slowly the grip begins to loosen. It cannot stay. It cannot stay. Most of the time what we do is we get caught up in our feelings. We get caught up in our emotions. We get caught up in our circumstances. And then the enemy seems to have us. But if we know the overshadowing presence, and if we know the overpowering place of His Word, then we can stand. May the Lord help us. 2 Timothy 1:17 said, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of sound love, and of love and of sound mind." I can't tell you the times I've prayed that prayer. You know, when you've been rattled, when the enemy comes in and he just begins to rattle you, you can stand. The Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but He's given us a spirit of love, and He's given us a spirit of a sound mind. You can stand upon it. Oh, the secret is the Word of God. And finally, there's a third thing. You need to understand this because it requires your involvement. There is the overcoming practice of faith. Do we, brothers and sisters, knowing the presence of the Lord and knowing the Word of God, do we stand by faith in spite of the opposition? That's what it says in Ephesians 6. Having done all, stand, and the sense of it is stand in spite of the opposition. We need to know how to stand. In that situation, I just think of back to Luke 8, verse 50, that story of Jairus' daughter. This was an impossible situation. It was death all around. You remember Jairus called and wanted the Lord to come see his daughter, and his daughter died. This was a situation of death, impossible. And the Lord's words to Jairus was, "Fear not, only believe." That's the secret. Now notice it doesn't tell us to do a thing. It doesn't tell you to do a thing. It just says believe. The overcoming practice of faith is the key to standing. There's always been something about that story that's bothered me. It seemed to be an interruption, but do you remember the woman with the issue of blood? That's in the middle of that story. I've always thought, why is that in the middle of that story? It never quite made sense to me. And it says this woman who had this bloody flux for 12 years, and she spent all of her living. Now, I think there's a reason, brothers and sisters, that that's to tell us that we have absolutely nothing in ourself of strength. You're all like that woman. But she knew something. And we need to know the same thing. She said, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I'll be whole. That's what she knew. That was her secret. If I can only touch the hem of his garment. And she touched him and was whole. Fear not, only believe. Brothers and sisters, may the Lord help us in this day. I believe that sometimes we underestimate the power of fear. It's very real. But I believe by God's grace, there's a word to the church. And that word to the church is throughout the Word of God. And that word is fear not. And in that, He has provided His overshadowing presence that we can abide under the shadow of His wings. In that, He's provided the Word of God that power of the Word, sooner or later, if you stand upon the Word, fear has to yield. It cannot keep its grip. Truth is more powerful than lies. And finally, if we engage and only believe, we can stand. May the Lord help us. Lord, we just commit these few thoughts to You. Our prayer is that You will help us. That we will have a testimony in this day to the world and to those who believe that we know You as our peace. That we know Your presence. That we know Your Word. That we believe You are enough. And that in that way, we can stand. Lord, we thank You. Your word to us is fear not. We praise You. It's sufficient for every day. And we take that in the name of Jesus. Amen.